My beloved brethren and sisters, I invite you to join in a prayer that while I speak, you and I may both enjoy the Spirit. I will give you a lesson today, which the Lord has taken great pains to bring to us. Among the questions frequently raised in connection with our upcoming national bicentennial is, can we maintain our basic freedoms, peace, and prosperity for another 200 years? The answer to this question is yes, if we shall individually repent and conform to the laws of the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ. He has stated the basics of his laws in the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, and in the two great commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Millenniums ago, he declared, there shall none come to this land, he was speaking of America, save they shall be brought by the hand of God. This land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be, they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Another ancient prophet said, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. It's my purpose in making these remarks to point out from the record of ancient inhabitants of America that the foregoing decree have been carried out. In the western part of the state of New York near Palmyra is a prominent hill known as Hill Cumorah. On July the 25th of this year, as I stood on the crest of that hill, admiring the awe-inspiring and breathtaking panorama which stretched out before me on every hand, my mind reverted to the events which occurred in that vicinity some 25 centuries ago, events which brought to an end the great Jaredite nation. You who are acquainted with the Book of Mormon will recall that during the final campaign of the fratricidal war between the armies led by Shiz and those led by Coriandomer, nearly 2 million of Coriandomer's people had been slain by the sword. 2 million of mighty men and also their wives and their children. As the conflict intensified, all the people who had not been slain, men with their wives and their children, gathered about that hill, Cumorah. The people who were for Coriandomer were gathered together to the army of Coriandomer, and the people who were for Shiz were gathered together to the army of Shiz, both men and women, children being armed with weapons of war. They did march forth one against another to battle. And they fought all that day and conquered not. And it came to pass that when it was night, they were weary and retired to their camps and took up a howling and a lamentation for the loss of the slain of their people. This routine was repeated day after day until they had all fallen by the sword, save it was Coriandomer and Shiz. Shiz himself had fainted from the loss of blood. And it came to pass that Coriandomer after he had leaned upon his sword, smote off the head of Shiz. And Coriandomer fell to the earth and became as if he had no life. Thus perished at the foot of Cumorah the remnant of the once mighty Jaredite nation, of whom the Lord had said, there shall be none greater upon all the face of the earth. As I contemplated this tragic scene from the crest of Cumorah and viewed the beautiful land of the restoration as it appears today I cried in my soul, how could it have happened? The answer came immediately, as I remembered that some 15 to 20 centuries before their destruction, as the small group of their ancestors was being divinely led from the Tower of Babel, the Lord would that they should come forth unto this land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, their prophet leader, that whoso should possess this land from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, wrote the ancient prophet historian, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. Pursuant to this decree concerning the land of America, the Jaredites were swept off in the manner we reviewed, because, rebelling against the laws of Jesus Christ, the God of the land, they ripened in iniquity. Nor were they the only people who were anciently divinely led to this choice land to grow in righteousness, to be a mighty nation, and then to deteriorate in wickedness until they ripened in iniquity and were, pursuant to God's decree, swept off. I emphasize divinely led because, as above stated, the Lord told them that they were being so led, and that there shall none come unto this land save they shall be brought by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore, this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he has given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Wherefore they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. For if iniquity shall abound, cursed shall be the land for their sakes. But unto the righteous it shall be blessed forever. This second civilization of which I refer, the Nephites, flourished in America between 600 B.C. and 400 A.D. Their civilization came to an end for the same reason, at the same place, and in the same manner as did the Jaredites. From the account of their death struggle, I quote, "And now," says Mormon, their historian, "I finish my record concerning the destruction of my people, the Nephites. And it came to pass that we did march forth before the Lamanites to the land of Cumorah. And when we had gathered in all the remainder of our people unto the land of Cumorah, my people with their wives and their children did behold the armies of the Lamanites marching towards them. And with that awful fear of death, which fills the breasts of all the wicked, did they await to receive them. And it came to pass that they did fall upon my people with the sword, and with the bow, and with the arrow, and with the axe, and with all manner of weapons of war. And it came to pass that my men were hewn down, yea, even my 10,000 who were with me, and I fell wounded in the midst, and they passed by me, that they did not put an end to my life. And when they'd gone through and hewn down all my people, save it were 24 of us, among whom was my son Moroni, and we, having survived the dead of our people, did behold on the morrow from the top of the hill Cumorah 230,000 of my people who were hewn down, even all my people, save it were those 24 who were with me, and also a few who had escaped into the south countries, and a few who had descended over unto the Lamanites had fallen. And my soul was rent with anguish, and I cried, O ye fair ones, how could ye have departed from the ways of the Lord? How could ye have rejected that Jesus who stood with open arms to receive you? Behold, if ye had not done this, ye would not have fallen. O ye fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, ye husbands and wives, how is it that you could have fallen? Oh, that ye had repented before this great destruction had come upon you. Moroni, a little later, wrote, Behold, I, Moroni, do finish the record of my father, Mormon. After the great and tremendous battle of Cumorah, the Nephites who had escaped into the country southward were hunted by the Lamanites until they were all destroyed. And my father was also killed by them. And I even remain alone to write the sad tale of the destruction of my people. The tragic fate of the Jaredites and the Nephite civilizations is proof positive that the Lord meant what he said when he said, This is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh when they are ripened in iniquity. This information that I've told you, wrote Moroni, addressing himself to us who today occupy this land, cometh unto you, O you Gentiles. Now, Gentiles is the term used by the Book of Mormon prophets to refer to the present inhabitants of America and to the peoples of the old world from which they came. This cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you as the inhabitants of the earth have hitherto done. Behold, this is the choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. In 1492, in harmony with the Lord's statement thereto heretofore quoted, that there shall none come unto this land save they shall be brought by the hand of the Lord, Columbus was divinely led to America. Away back between 590 and 600 years B.C., Nephi, in vision, looking down the stream of time, beheld a man among the Gentiles, that's among the nations of Europe, who was separated from this promised land by the many waters. And I beheld, said he, the Spirit of God, that it came down and wrought upon the man, and he went forth upon the mighty waters, even to the promised land. And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God, that it wrought upon other Gentiles, and they went forth upon the many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of the Gentiles upon the land of promise. Columbus himself corroborated the fact that he was divinely led to this land. In the royal presence of Isabella, Irving, his biographer, writes, he unfolded his plans with eloquence and zeal, for he felt himself, as he afterwards declared, kindled as with a fire from on high, and considered himself the agent chosen of heaven to accomplish the grand design. His son Fernando, in the biography of his father, quotes him as saying on one occasion, God gave me the faith and afterwards the courage, so that I was quite willing to undertake the journey. And the will of Columbus reads, in the name of the Holy Trinity, who inspired me with the idea and afterwards made it perfectly clear to me that I could navigate and go to the Indies from Spain by traversing the ocean westward. Columbus was led because he was led. We are here in this choice land. God gave us victory in the Revolutionary War. We are indebted to him for our nation's independence. He has prospered us in every righteous endeavor. He established the Constitution of the United States by the hands of wise men whom he raised up to that very purpose. He himself, with his beloved son, appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith to open up a new dispensation of the gospel of Jesus Christ here in this land. He has established his church here and has sent and is now sending representatives thereof into every nook and corner of the land and as far as possible to all the earth to declare and teach the laws of Jesus Christ, the God of this land. He has revealed anew and repeated over and over again the ancient decree, "This is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God." Concerning this land, this knowledge has been revealed to us that we may know the decrees of God, that we may repent and not continue in our iniquities until the fullness come, that we may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon us as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. We are living in the dispensation of the fullness of times, which will be climaxed by the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning the approach of that event, and what is in store for the inhabitants of the earth between now and then, the Lord said 144 years ago, "The wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked without measure. Wherefore, the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, that all that will hear may hear." And this is his message. Prepare ye, for that which is to come. For the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth. The hour is not yet, but it is nigh at hand, when peace shall be taken from the earth, and the devil shall have power over his dominion, and also the Lord shall have power over his saints, and shall reign in their midst, and shall come down in judgment upon the world. Now, my beloved brethren and sisters everywhere, both members of the church and non-members, I bear you my personal witness that I know the things I have presented to you today are true, both those pertaining to past events and those pertaining to events yet to come. The issue we face is clear and well defined. The choice is ours. The question is, shall we of this dispensation repent and obey the laws of God, the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ, or shall we continue to defy them until we ripen in iniquity? That we will repent and obey, and thereby qualify to receive the blessings promised to the righteous in this land, I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.